This is tape number one of an interview with Mrs. Rona Wallace in Victoria on the 21st of August, 1979. Mrs. Wallace, you were born in Nova Scotia, and you came to Vancouver when you were just a little girl. How old were you?
I was seven.
And you came with your mother and...
And the rest of my family. My father had died.
And you went to school in Vancouver schools?
A model school. Uh-huh. And King Edward High School, and then the university.
You told us earlier that you went to UBC, you entered the university when you were 15 years old.
That's right, and the enrollment was just over 350.
Yeah.
And the fees were about $18.
For the whole year?
For the whole year.
You went into UBC at the age of 15 because you wanted to go to nursing, but you were a year too young.
I was 2 years too young.
And I
was too young to go to normal school, but the university was right there across from King Edward High School,
yeah.
And so I went to the university.
And
graduation.
And that was in what year?
That was in 1917.
Okay. And you're a graduate in chemical engineering.
Yes.
How did it happen that you ended up taking chemical engineering?
I was very interested in chemistry in high school, and I enjoyed my chemistry in the first year of university. And Violet Dunbar, who had been out for two or three years teaching and had come back, was also interested in chemistry. And she said, I have looked into this, and I found that you can... The best way to take chemistry is in chemical engineering. And she mentioned three other girls who were in first year who were also interested, and how we would all go into first year applied science, because that's how you took chemical engineering. And so I thought, yes, well, that sounds great, and I would enjoy that. And that was at the end of the term. And so I went home and decided, over the summer holidays, this was my idea. I would go back and register for chemical engineering. And they said, well, this is applied science. And I said, yes, it's applied science. And so I registered. And then a day or so afterwards, I ran into Dunbar. And I said, and so we have to take this in applied science. And she said, oh, well, I'm not going to do that, you know. I've decided to take it in arts. And I said, what about these other three? Well, they haven't come back. So I was left alone, but it didn't occur to me that I could make any change in my registration. I had registered for applied science, so I was going to take applied science, and that's how it was.
And did anybody ask you, like, what on earth are you doing taking applied science, or...
No, nobody questioned me at all.
What did your family think about that?
They didn't question me either. Nobody had ever been at the university, and if I said I was going to take applied science, well, I was going to take applied science, and that was, they were satisfied with that, you know. If I decided I was going to do that, that was the answer. So I took it.
Did you, after your contact with Violet Dunbar, and when you found yourself there alone in the classes, did you seek out help or support from anybody, or you just...
No, it never occurred to me. I just thought, well, here it is. And when I came to the first lecture and found there were only boys, men, whatever you want to call them, they were boys, just to me, I thought, oh dear. And for a couple of days I didn't go to the lectures at all, and then I thought, well, I'll never get anywhere this way, so I'll just have to go. So I just went.
I think that must have taken a lot of courage.
I was too young. By this time, you see, I was 16, and when I see my grandchildren at 16, I think that was kind of a funny decision to make. But anyway, that was the decision I made. I registered for it, and I would do it. That was all.
Good. A determined woman.
Well,
quite determined.
I wouldn't call myself a woman at that point.
Well, true. 16, a determined girl. You were saying earlier this afternoon that you spent a great deal of your time in the classroom and in the laboratory. What kind of day did you have? What was your week like?
Oh, it was hectic. You went to lectures from 9 to 12 and from 1 to 3, and labs from 3 to 5 or 5:30 whenever the lab was over. That was every day, and on Saturdays from 9 to 12.
Every single day.
That was through my whole 4 years of applied science. It was like that because I had things to make up because I hadn't taken things that the boys had taken in high school. I had to make those up on Saturday mornings and go and take woodwork and things like this that I hadn't done. So I did them then. And, so every day was full, all day.
Did you also then have work that you had to do outside of classroom time, like homework and reading and studying? So you spent every waking hour involved in your studies.
I was really busy. As a little kid going into a big course, I was, over my eyebrows in work I just coped the best way I could, and I remember Dr. Hebb, who was a magnificent lecturer and a terrific teacher, saying to me, "You know, Margaret Healy couldn't make it. What makes you think that you can?" And I said, "Well, I don't know whether I can or not, but I can try." And so every year he'd say, "Margaret had to drop out." And I say, "Well, I haven't dropped out yet."
Good for you. Stand up to you.
But I can remember he had a really tough course. The first year, mechanics was a very hard course, and it stopped at Christmas. There were 16 of us. 3 of us passed, and by the miracle of the gods, I was one of the ones that passed. And the next year, I took a really tough course with him, and I just squeezed, it wasn't easy. I hadn't had physics in high school, which put me behind the eight ball, made it difficult for me. But I tried, and then we had a really tough course called electricity in our third year, and he said, when I came out of the exam, I met him, and he said, "Do you think you passed?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "Do you think you deserve to pass?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. You have to decide that." And I failed by 1 month.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh, my goodness.
So, I don't think he ever thought I should be there,
really.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So he was teaching me my lessons, so.
Yeah.
But when I wrote this up, I passed and 17 others didn't pass, and
good.
So,
But you stuck to it.
Well, he wasn't going to put me down that way. No.
So did you have any contact with, I guess you didn't have any time for any of the organizations on campus, or?
No time for any, I haven't been in time for anything. All I had time was walking back and forth from Kepsilan to up where the General Hospital is and back.
You lived in Kitsilano?
I lived in Kitsilano, yes.
And you walked to school?
Yep. And walked back because I thought I'd be able to get, my mother would say I would came in smelling like a chemistry lab.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And so I always walked home if it wasn't raining too hard. But I had a lot of good friends, and we walked back and forth together, and we really had a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it, I had a marvelous time.
Were you able to find jobs during the summer that related to your work, or were you able to take it a little bit easy in the summer?
No, things weren't like that then, I went berry picking, I went worked in drugstores, I did whatever I could.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother didn't want me to go away from home because I was too young.
Yeah.
You were old enough to study chemical engineering.
Yeah, well, in the last year or so, I did odd jobs analyses for people, firms around town that had, you know, people who were making alloys and that sort of thing, and for the doctors at the hospital, I would do analyses for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but I otherwise I didn't have any opportunity to do this. Mm-hmm. I was 20 when I graduated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After 5 years, and it's not very old, is it?
No, it's not very old at all. I've got here, Mrs. Wallace, an article from the Vancouver Sun in 1919, when you were in your third year. And the tone of the article is one of amazement that you would be able to carry out all of the hard work of the engineering course. And they talk about blacksmithing and forging. And when I first read this, I was quite astonished that a person who was studying chemical engineering would have to do that.
Well, you see, the first 2 years of engineering are general. And in those days were general. All engineers took the same thing. I can remember we had to run a test on a donkey engine down in one of the shops, and one over in the basement of part of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We weighed so much coal, we shoveled in so much coal, we figured out how much value we were getting out of the coal. And I shoveled my share of the coal, believe me, I shoveled my share of the coal.
I believe you did.
Oh, yes. There was no way. I mean, it's the same way as with the surveying. I did my parts of the tough work as well as
mm-hmm.
anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question of letting me off easy. When we were doing the machine shop work, you know, and then this, my husband talked about, you know, leveling this piece of, and they said, we won't have you do that because it could be hard on you, because you have to hit your fingers, and I've seen them with bloody fingers, just from here to here, you know, because they hit their knuckle instead of the chisel.
All right.
And so we won't, but you use these machines, and we let you use them because your touch is better. And so I was doing all these shaping, using the shapers and all the beveling machines and everything like this. But one day I came over and this chap had, his blood was just pouring down of his hand. And I said, oh, that's terrible. Let me do it. And so I did it for about 15 minutes. And I looked up and here was the instructor looking over his shoulder and said, if I'd known you could do that, and let you off it.
So you did learn how to use a cold chisel then?
Oh, I learned to use how to use the cold chisel. Yes, I did. But it was a lot of fun and a lot of hard work. But I don't think it would have mattered. I often wonder what if I had decided to take something else. I could have done better perhaps at nursing.
Mm-hmm.
The nursing course didn't open up for 2 years, and by that time I was right into my
mm-hmm.
course.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way I was going to change. But nursing was really what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But chemical engineering was, and but you know, it's been a lot of fun because I've been able to help Doug. I've done a terrific amount of coaching,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of coaching,
mm-hmm.
Both up the island and down here.
Mm-hmm.
Until the last few years, I've done a lot of coaching,
mm-hmm.
and I've enjoyed doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But when the courses changed, I just couldn't
mm-hmm.
bother to, you know, adjust to the new courses. That's too much. But
yeah. You worked on the Chemistry 91 and correspondence schools for a
oh
long
yes,
time.
Well, I wrote the after marking it for a year, I told the director I couldn't stand it, and it had to be rewritten. And so she said, "Well, rewrite it." And so I did. And then I was marking Chemistry 91 and 101, which was the senior trick,
mm-hmm.
until I stopped finding finding it was fun. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Yeah. It was really fun. And I enjoyed it. And when it wasn't fun anymore, then I stopped.
You worked for 2 years for the university?
No, just 1 year.
Was it 1 year?
1 year.
Mm-hmm. After you graduated as a...
2 years at UBC. Oh, yeah. I thought you were thinking of working up at Victoria College.
No.
Yes, I worked for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. As the stores keeper in chemistry.
Well, yes. This is one of these things that is part of being the youngest child of a family with no father. They had supported, mm-hmm. we had supported each other, and they had all gotten married, and it was my turn. Mm-hmm. And so this was a quick, available job, and my sister when he got married, and so I thought it was my turn to do something to make it possible for her to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. And you said earlier that besides passing out the chemicals and being the stores keeper, you were also the first aid person. Anybody got hurt?
Oh, yes, and I kept doing little odds and ends of things for the doctors at the hospital, you know, and running tests for them and this sort of thing. And actually, I carried on with the work that I had done for my thesis when I graduated. Dr. Clark, under whom I was working, wanted me to carry on, but because it hadn't been completed, so I went on with that.
What work was that?
They all sound awful.
He was talking about the active ingredient in cascara.
Oh, really?
No. Cascara.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh. Yeah, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what kind of test cases did you use? Like,
well, it was, it was interesting because you were there available to the hospital, and if they wanted some special test done, you know, they could come over and ask. And,
uh-huh.
I could do it, or somebody could do it. One of the postgraduate students could do it. If none of them had free time, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think of some of those accents that are really appalling. Some of the accents we had were really awful.
People blew themselves up periodically, didn't they?
Well, there was a chap working on his master's, and he was doing solutions under pressure, and he had them in an oil bath, and it was the oil bath was in a big metal thing with a glass front in it. Well, he hadn't absolutely perfectly sealed one of his little flasks. And so the weak point gave, and the steam got into the oil,
and
the whole thing just blew up in a room about 5 times this size. It was just saturated walls and ceiling with shredded glass and hot oil.
Mm-hmm.
You never saw such a mess.
Yeah.
You never. And I tell you, this is when you learned about first aid, and then when. When somebody puts hydrofluoric acid on your hands, you know that eats all the skin off your hands. And somebody said, "Put it in water." That's the last. We really had some nasty accidents.
Mm-hmm.
You
learned your nursing after all.
Oh yes, a great big husky chap who was a rugby player. You know, somebody said, come up and see him. He had fainted. You know, he had a piece of bent glass, and he was trying to push it through a hole in the cork, and he had pushed on the bin instead of pushing on the straight, and it broke and went right through his hand. We had fun and games, you know.
Oh.
People passed out from, inhaling too much hydrogen sulfide or something. So you had a little first aid station there.
Mm-hmm. And this, your whole history then with the university was in the Fairview Shacks.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't attend any time
when
the university was at Point Grey?
No.
You must have been part of the very crowded conditions. The university
was growing. Oh, yes. My first year there was, my first year, 1918. It was the flu year.
Oh, right.
And everybody, they had flu patients in the what used to be called the auditorium. This was a little addition to the permanent structure. And I said to my mother, "Can't I go back and help?" And she said, "No, you're too young." And then I nursed everybody around the whole neighborhood, and I would have been far better off if I was at home. But everybody in the house, I went around and nursed 8 separate people, and never got it at all. But the whole term, the whole fall term was decimated because we lost 7 weeks out of it, fall term, and that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. And they had to move Christmas exams to February, and what is it, April exams to May, and the whole year put out of whack.
Yes, the whole thing was crazy. It was, they were dear old shack, awful things I can remember. Behind what used to be the chemistry building out there, they had to put on a little tent for the Aggies to do the, and then in the murder, you can imagine the poor Aggies. In the tent with the rain.
Up to their ankles in that, it must have been terrible.
Oh, we had fun, fun and games. It was really very interesting. Somebody had said, "Is this what you really want to do?" I wouldn't have known. But I found every bit of it interesting. Mm-hmm. Quite fascinating. The metallurgy, the geology, the physics, the electricity, whatever it was, it was all very interesting. I liked it.
And you just kept at it all the way through?
Yeah, just kept on.
What about your fellow students, the male colleagues? Did they ever talk to you? Any reactions to your presence?
I think they all thought I was crazy. But my first year, they were people that were not much older than I was. Mm-hmm. And we were only 16 of us, and they used to get annoyed with me because, particularly in drafting, I'd work, and they liked to chitter and chatter and run around, the drafting room. And then they'd find I was miles ahead of them, and they had a nasty little trick. You know what they do? You see, you pinned your drawing, you made your drawing, then you put this tracing paper over it, and you pinned it all down. And then you had to trace it with tracing, with any ink. Well, they'd come along and cut one corner, and I wouldn't notice it again. And then I'd find that my lines were slightly off.
Oh dear.
Or they would break the points off my compasses, or that my dividers, or they do the darndest things to hold me up. They were really. I remember one day. We were up in the top of the physics building, and there was a fire escape down. And they locked me out on the fire escape. And I couldn't get down, you see. And it was cold. I was out there for an hour because they said I was getting too far. I was working too high, and I was being too far ahead of them. So they had to hold me back. The nasty wretches?
Yes, I think so. Nasty wretches is polite and nice.
But by and large, they were very good. And the next year was completely different. Mm. Because the first year, the students were maybe 2 or 3 years older than ours. I was. And the next year, the people came back from overseas. Mm. And so there were people from, say, 24 to even 30.
Oh, right.
Or more.
Yeah.
And that was a real challenge, because by this time I was 17. And But they were very nice. They were all very nice. Mm-hmm. And I could help them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had been out for a while, you know. And the boys couldn't be bothered, but I would be glad to help them if I could. Couldn't always, but sometimes I could.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very nice experience for me, really, because they treated me like a little sister, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
Been home looking at things. And, but about 60 came in, about 30 dropped out at Christmas,
yeah,
because I couldn't pack it, which was. And this is why, you know, when I went up to work at Victoria College, Dr. Ewing said to me, you know, you've been so understanding. I said, I've been through this before. Because the people would come into the lab and I'd say, we're going to do this and this and this because it will demonstrate what you've learned and heard in your lecture. They said, but you didn't understand the thing we heard.
Mm.
So then I would go over it all again so that my lab, instead of running 3 hours, ran 4 hours.
Mm. You were doing the lecture work too. This was with returned veterans after the Second World
War. Yes,
World.
And they say, well, we didn't understand when he said it.
Mm.
But you see, the thing was, I was learning it, I was doing it again, and some of it was brand new. And I had to learn it before I taught it to them, so I knew what their problems were.
Right.
So I was prepared to meet them, you know, at grass level.
Yeah.
And so, as I say, my labs ran 4 hours instead of three. But Dr. Ewing, you know, wrote me really a very nice letter and said, I was just the person that these people needed because, well, I had been through it before, and I understood what they were going through then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I'd seen them go through it before when I was a university student, and realized the problems that they had. Because some of them had been out for 3 years and come back, and they tried to get right into step, and some of them dropped out in, say, in the middle of the year and been granted that year and went on to the next year. It was just dreadfully difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very nice people to be in class with. I see them occasionally, some of them, and I enjoy meeting them. Molly Banfield and George Fountain and McLaughlin, they're all in Vancouver. And people like that, I enjoy seeing them, you know. And it's the same way with these people, you know. I felt, oh, this is what they're having to cope with. And,
mm-hmm.
So, and it was easy for me to, because I had learned when I talked to them, so I could see what their problems were, because a lot of this was new since I had graduated.
Yeah.
This chemistry gives you on, goes on and on and on. So, and it's the same with coaching. I enjoyed coaching because I had to keep on learning.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to coach them. But because I was learning, it was easier to coach them.
Well then, I'm sorry that it was 25 years before another woman graduated in applied science after you, but I'm glad that you had the courage and the opportunity to stick with it. I guess you helped a lot of people through a lot of Chemistry 91. I wish I'd known you when I was taking Chemistry 91.
I wish you had too.
That was a hard course. I remember it.
Yeah, you know, one of the most interesting things among my correspondence students was a woman. I knew she was married, but they had a card they fell out in Sandan, and you're supposed to put your age on it, but
mm-hmm.
she didn't put her age on it, and. I just remarked, you haven't put your age on it, but I didn't. And she did beautiful work. She did absolutely perfect work.
Mm-hmm.
And when she finished 91, I said, you're going to go on to 101? And she said, yes, she thought she would. And then I kept writing her notes on the end of her papers, you mm-hmm. know, saying, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And she said, I'm going to university. And she graduated from university, and she was 57 when she started taking the course. She had started, she had completed her matric after her youngest daughter was married, and went on and graduated from university. And my son knew her, and he said, that she said to him, tell your mother that I have graduated.
Right. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was terrific.
I think that's terrific too. That's great. And I wish we had more time to talk with you.
And well, I've got nothing to say anyway.
Now, Mrs. Wallace, that's not quite true. I'm really glad that you talked with us. We appreciate having the opportunity to talk with you.
Having you here. I just was looking forward to having you. I wasn't looking forward to talking to you, but I was looking forward to seeing you.
Well, here we are.
Very well.
Yes, it's been really wonderful. I'm really glad that we had this chance. I brought this article in case you don't remember it.
No,
I made
I
a copy of it.
I don't remember it at all.
And that's from the province. There's a picture of you and an article.
It's no, I don't remember. Maybe we didn't take the sun.
No, possibly not.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.